And I Quote is bringing you expert-to-expert advice and insights. Our thought-provoking conversations with insurance industry professionals will inspire and educate our listeners on the latest trends and hot topics.
Let's move our industry forward together. The And I Quote podcast is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie is simplifying the way agents work with small business.
Now let's get started. Cool. Well, welcome to the And I Quote podcast. Very excited to chat with our guest today, Alyssa Stamp. She's an amazing guest, co-founder and CEO of Insure Equality, which is a tech nonprofit that really seeks to create cultural change and enforce accountability in this insurance industry, and then also make the industry a more welcoming place for everyone. And so I love, you know, that philosophy, and so really excited. And so Alyssa joins us really today to talk about how Insure Equality was formed, and the enormous strides that the organization is making to really be impactful in our industry. So let's jump right in and get started. So Alyssa, thank you for joining the podcast today. Really excited to chat with you. So I kind of want to start with you a little bit of your background and really what transpired in your career and just led you to create a plan for the nonprofit and then really bring it to life. I love hearing like the founder stories.
It's fun, right? Yeah, I love it too. And I love sharing it. And for me, and I'll be honest, I think I've shared this on other podcasts too. I never started my career, much less my insurance career, with the intention of doing this. Mm-hmm. When I went into insurance in very early 2012, so it's been about 12 years now, wow. I was coming out of banking. I wasn't the biggest fan of it. I went there when I graduated because I was graduating in the 08 market crash. So didn't have a lot of choice. Went into, picked the spot. Was there for 3 years. I was like, oh, I don't love this. And a friend of mine was like, why don't you try underwriting? And I went home and I Googled underwriting. And I was like, oh, I think I could do this. This is kind of cool. And so I started my career there, worked my way through. And I remember when I was in Michigan, Ashley, we were talking about having that Michigan connection. When I was in Michigan, I remember sitting at my desk going, man, I wish somebody would do something about this. I would join them. I would volunteer. I would help them. I would donate. But something's not quite right. And I recognize that I have a lot of privilege in this industry wearing the skin that I wear. And there were a lot of ways that I didn't have privilege in that space. I was a woman in the industry. I was queer, but not out. And both of those things impacted how I walked around in the world and in the space. It wasn't until 2020 that I really started to sit down and take stock, not just of my life, but of my career. And I was like, what is it that I want to do truly? Because I didn't really feel like I ever had a choice going into anything, because I came out when the market crashed, and then I fell into the next thing, much like many of us do with insurance. And so I said, well, what is it that I can do now? Like, with my skills, with my talent, with my background, with my identity, what is it that I can do to hold a door open for somebody else? And so the answer wasn't the nonprofit at that time. It was actually, oh, I'm going to join the agency side. I've been on the carrier side for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But it was after 4 months I had been on the agency side, and there was this catalytic event that happened that completely shaped my world and changed me at my core. And I was being forced out of this agency with only four months. And I won't get into the gory details or the gritty details, because I feel like you could copy and paste my story 1,000 times. The truth is, you probably already know what happened to me, because you've seen it happen to somebody else. You know, because it's part of the culture that we have and that we've sustained. I don't want to say that the few of us here in this podcast room or the few of us listening have created that culture, but we've at least sustained it. And I think for my co-founder and I, after having the conversation, what we realized was everybody has power where they are. Absolutely. Even if we don't recognize it, even if we can't necessarily feel it. And how do we share these stories in a public fashion? How do we bring people together in a place where we all feel isolated to start to make change in a way that impacts all of us? Because as we know, insurance doesn't just impact the people that work in it. We have a huge set of stakeholders across this country and across this world. And so how we deal with each other, how we work with each other, will filter out into how we work with our stakeholders as well. And we're starting to see that pain. So really the founder story was, we knew something needed to happen. We didn't know what that was. And it wasn't until we were faced with that life-altering, world-changing moment that we said, no, we got to do something. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think we're necessarily the best or the brightest people to do this, but we just knew that we couldn't live with ourselves if we didn't.
That's amazing. And just to have that moment of realization, but then do something about it, I think is really impactful and definitely resonates with a lot of our audience. So do you ever feel like you're attracting, you know, pledged companies that aren't committed to making cultural changes to push your mission forward?
So our mission, as it reads on our incorporation documents, is to uplift the voices in our industry that are typically excluded or minimized. So really flipping the script and understanding that there is a power dynamic at play here and that currently it's not flipped in most people's favor. Right. So how do we, as a culture, as an industry, understand that we're actually stifling ourselves and keeping growth, profit at bay by keeping things the same way? And it's really impactful for us when we think about like creating that safe space, right? Like having people come to us. And I think the question was, do we ever feel that somebody is disingenuous when they sign the pledge? Yep. And the answer to that, I'm very proud to say, is no. Amen. And the reason for that is because we were very clear in the pledge what it is that we wanted. And that is that we care about people more than profit. Mm-hmm. And the reason I can say this with so much confidence is because we've had so many people come to us, say, oh yeah, we'll sign it. And then we send them the DocuSign. And the minute that they get it, they're like,
yeah,
maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I'm afraid that this is going to come back to bite me, or that we're actually not doing the things and we need to do the things before we get there.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, I want to say this journey is always ongoing. But for us, we knew that we were walking into a situation, because we've been in this industry for years, that wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
And we ourselves are imperfect. So we don't expect perfection from anybody. In fact, we balk against that. We would much rather somebody show up and go, you know what, we've messed up this, this, and this, but we're going to try our darndest. That to me is somebody that actually cares, because they recognize where they're at.
Right.
So when we think about the safe space, something that I'm incredibly proud of is the fact that our presence in this industry has allowed for people to be all right with themselves.
Yeah.
And to share themselves with others. The common terminology we hear with that is coming out. And I'm doing my best to change my language around that, because I've heard someone say something that I really like, and that is letting other people in.
Yes.
Because it's not a duck. So as somebody that is queer, it's not on you to accept me. It's on me to share with you.
Right.
And so in the past year, we've had 4 people share themselves with us and others publicly because we exist. And so that to me is such a pride moment, because I was not out until I went to the agency side. And then that's when I had my big moment.
I see.
And so as I think about all of us that are carrying intersectional identities, some that are obvious, some that are not, that don't necessarily fit the typical bill that we think of when we think of insurance.
Yeah.
It's so impactful to me to know that everybody can feel like they can show up with all of their parts.
Mm-hmm. That is, you know, something that, like you said, just kind of building upon your own experience and then being able to then empower so many others. What a huge impact that has had. And truly putting the pledge behind it too, because I think that is what was really impactful as well. So, you know, with that, you know, they take the pledge, obviously, like you said, there's the process. Then how do you ensure that those companies are then, you know, they're accountable online versus whether that's in the agency space, insurtech digital space, because obviously, you know, insurance is the traditional model, but then there's a lot of change that's happened. So how do you ensure that they're staying accountable to that pledge?
I love these questions. These are so good. No, seriously, these are the questions that I wish more people would ask, because it's part of the strategy and the background of what we built when we first launched, because we said to ourselves, okay, so how do we know that somebody is actually going to care and they're not just signing it to sign it? That was a question we asked. So we were very intentional about that. And then as we get to the other piece of it is like, how do we make sure that we measure this? Because sure, you can sign a pledge and then like have it sit on a website, creating a backlink for 5, 10, 15 years, but is it actually doing anything? That's where Phoenix was born. So my co-founder, who I affectionately called the mother of Phoenix, Kylie, the mother of Phoenix Ortley,
I love that.
She, yeah, she built and designed it herself. And we love women in tech, right?
Yes, you know, it's absolutely,
it's beautiful to see because you don't often see a woman in a CTO role. Right. And not only is she our CTO, but she built and coded this whole thing. So mm-hmm. she and myself and a few of our volunteers and close colleagues really worked with psychologists, therapists, social workers, people with backgrounds in how to work with people that have been through trauma, because that's really something I don't feel like we're capturing as an industry. Okay. We can capture a lot of the binary data, and we can capture so much about yes, no, this, or, but not the both and. And so when we were building the survey, one of the things that we thought of was how does culture feel and how do we capture feelings? And so if you go to Phoenix,
right?
I mean, because nobody's going to feel it the same, you know, like we all experience joy differently, pain differently, somebody else's words differently, you know, and how do you account for that? And so what we landed on was pain scales that you typically see in like medical situations or hospitals, you know, the smiley faces where you're like, everything's fine all the way to I'm miserable. That was really what we focused on because nothing is a yes or it's typically a little messier than that. Right. And so when we created Phoenix, it's meant to be the tool that helps us gauge it. Now, we're still continuously working on building this up, improving it. One of the things that we want to add is a little arrow to show if somebody's trending up or down, because that could be impactful too. You might have a score that you're not proud of in a specific area, but it might be trending upwards, meaning that the work that you're putting in is showing forth. And so what I want to be clear about too, because we often get this piece of feedback, oh, well, you're trying to police the industry or, you know, like what's a good score, what's a bad score? The score is what the score is. You're not trying to get straight A's. This is not a grade situation. The goal is to understand where you're at and to know that just like we were talking about how we might experience a person or an event differently, somebody's going to interpret and experience those scores differently too. Not everybody has the same values. So we have seven different metrics we're looking at. But what's important to me in a business may not be important to you or to Paige or to somebody else. And so what we really want to capture with what we're doing is not just how it feels to the people that are there, but how can people that aren't in this industry right now find their best fit?
That's incredible. And I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, you talk about backgrounds. I like to say like stumbled into insurance, but also didn't know what to expect in certain areas. But I think some of the glaring, you know, obviously things were that it was not as diverse as other industries that I've worked in. And so, you know, having something like Phoenix where that's really, you know, it's addressed on a nuanced basis, right? And like you said, unique to each individual. So, I mean, tell us a little bit more about Phoenix. I know it's one of those things like, you know, if our audience is listening, they're not super familiar with it. And you kind of touched on like some of the what goes into it, but just how it's developed. And then even the scoring, you touched on that a little bit, but, you know, sometimes you see a pending score. What does that mean? And then, you know, how many company reviews does a company need to kind of see that to see a result within Phoenix?
You're hitting hard-hitting ones.
Yeah.
When it's pending, we don't have scores yet. We typically need at least a couple of scores to put something together. We try not to issue it with just one because what we don't want is a company to go, oh, wait a second, we have one, who did it? And then try to find that person. As people that have often been either in a small or a large company, we wanted people in the small company to be able to hide just as much as in the large company, because really how you feel isn't up for debate.
Right.
Like how you're experiencing something isn't up for debate. And so what we don't want is people going, well, this is a problem. We look really bad. We should fix it. This is information, you know, and if you feel some kind of way about it, then that probably tells you that you have room for improvement, but it's not meant to bludgeon you or say that you're really bad at it. If you look, almost all of the companies are doing really great in some of the same areas and really not great in some of the same areas too. So what we're noticing are trends across the industry. And I will go into like a couple more of the data pieces of it for you, because I think it's highly fascinating some of the data we're getting back that is either confirming what we felt or taking us in a different direction. And one of the pieces that I found really interesting throughout this whole experience was it didn't matter if you were at a huge corporation, a mid-sized company, or a small agency. Where you were didn't matter for if you felt like you belonged. which I thought was incredible. And what that tells me is you can work in any part of this industry and feel like you belong in it. You just have to find the place that works best for you.
So that's
a really positive piece that we're getting out. And I'll share a couple more. But as we look at Phoenix, there are seven. I'm trying not to set off my IMAC backgrounds. There are seven components of culture that we looked at. And what we did is we looked at business mechanisms. We looked at psychology mechanisms. We looked at different ways that people understand culture. And so those are accountability, communication, inclusion, integrity, recognition, support, and transparency. Now, those you can take just about across every industry, but what we wanted to do was showcase to folks the different areas that people are looking for. So when we're talking about employees that are looking for their next company, many of them will choose one of those things as a value or something that they need. They need it to be inclusive, or they need that company to be accountable, or they need them to be transparent. These are the ones that keep showing up time and time again. Yeah. So that is what we used. And then we actually worked with Athena Actuarial, their consulting firm, to get that calculation just right. So this isn't just something that we built in an Excel spreadsheet and we were like, okay, let's add here and subtract here. No, we spent some time on this because what we want to be able to do with this information is not just give people a way to investigate what's going on in their company and improve it or help a job seeker find their next home. Right. We also want to be able to give data to this industry.
Yeah,
because what we're learning for an industry that is really built on and thrives in data, as we know, there's a lot of data we do not have.
Don't have. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head.
And part of that is because of who's at the helm saying, we want this data, this data, and this data. So they're looking through their perspective, which is fine. But if you only have one perspective, you're not getting a full view.
Yeah.
We also have pieces of data that are impacted by things that are obviously biased or that have been built upon things that maybe we shouldn't build upon. Like we're a very smart and innovative industry. We could probably do some things a little bit differently. And one of the things that comes top of mind for me is credit scoring. It's inherently a racist mechanism that we've built into place. It really hammers certain identities and we're building insurance on top of it.
Yeah.
So how do we start to, and especially with the advent of AI, what you put in is what you get out. And so we're really starting to think about the pieces, not that we have, but that we're missing. Yeah. So we're working with University of Chicago in their Board Fellows program. This is our second year working with them. And that's one of our projects is to figure out what are we missing? Who aren't we serving and why?
Yeah.
And how do we get that data to the rest of the industry?
That's incredible. And I think, you know, just even starting with asking the right questions, right? Like if you're looking at, you know, historically, like you said, biased, you know, sort of system, and then you're not even starting with asking those questions as to why or the how, then you really can't get to the solution. So I think you're doing the incredible work and the tough work, right? Like kudos to you and your team for doing what is the really challenging piece of the work. But then, you know, how much impact that'll have on this industry. So kudos to you. And I love that is a saying that, you know, you kind of say is getting comfortable with the uncomfortable is a common saying, right? We hear that a lot in the DEI and equality space. But, you know, what does that mean for your organization? And if you can even share any examples or any things like that where you've, you know, really like stuck to in addressing these situations for your partners or for others.
Of course. Yeah, this one's a big one for me. As not just somebody that's doing this work, but as somebody that has been through the tough stuff with myself. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hard part about DEI that we don't often talk about. And as somebody that is a white person, that was a very difficult journey for me to go on, and one that I arrived at much later in life than I'm proud of. But what we don't often address in DEI is that part of this work is internal. In fact, that's the work you should be doing first.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that was something that I wish that I knew like 10 years ago, because here I thought, oh, you just show up and you help, but you can't help when you're not fully there.
Yeah.
And so you have to get right with yourself, understand yourself, what your values are, what makes you tick, and be able to look yourself in the eye before you can start moving forward, knowing full well that you're going to mess stuff up.
Right.
You're going to mess this up. I think, I feel like that's a part of DEI that doesn't get talked about often either, because I think it's so easy for somebody that works in DEI, and I try to be very conscious of this, but I know that I do it too. We'll get out there and we're like, we should be doing this. And I'm inundated in it every day, right? I'm soaking in it. I'm living it. I'm reading the books. I'm in the articles.
Yeah.
And it may not be at somebody's top priority in the same way. Right. And so what people are like, oh, well, you're angry, or like sometimes passionate. Well, mm-hmm. I'll get passionate, yeah. But you're angry. Like, depending on the gendered word and what we're feeling at the time.
Exactly.
But the goal with being uncomfortable with the uncomfortable is not to feel gross. It's to understand that you're capable.
Mm-hmm.
That you're capable of so much more. I think about, like, we use a lot of sports terminology in insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, love, yeah, we can shake
it. Yeah.
Love it or hate it, it's there. Yeah. Same with military terms, and I'm a military brat, so I'm doubly affected there. But using a sports analogy, you wouldn't show up to football practice or soccer practice or baseball practice, whatever sport you're in, mm-hmm. and just expect to be good day one.
Yeah, not at all.
You also, no, and you also wouldn't expect to go there and not experience pain or a bad day or a pulled muscle that you have to heal from. All of that is true in DEI.
Yeah.
And so when we think about DEI, the part that's the iceberg that's under the water is this internal work. And that's really what it's about. And part of that is on us. So we try to practice everything that we preach.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we're doing is we have a certification that you can either take as a company or an individual. It's great leadership development. This is one of the projects that we worked on with the University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the goal with this certification, with this program, is to partner with that Phoenix data, mm-hmm. but it's to also help you excavate all the layers of who you are as a person and all the layers of the person you want to be as a professional. Whether that's with your whole company or whether that's you as an individual. Sure. So you're in there understanding your personal mission value, your personal mission, vision, and values, who the stakeholders are in your life or in your business, how to access them. And you have weekly coaching that goes with it. So it's self-study, and you'll have other people around. And so we were baiting this process. And one of the things is, like I said, mission, vision, values. And we're a young organization, right? We haven't been around for ages. So we're sitting there doing the mission, vision, values. And like, as a co-founder, I'm like really proud. We're going to breeze right through here. Everything's going to be great. And we get to the values and somebody raises their hand and they're like, you know, I really don't like this value. And I was like, wow. Ouch. Okay. That does.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had to sit with that one.
Yeah.
But then after reflection, first of all, we did, just to not bury the lead, we did end up changing the value. We changed it right there on the spot. The original value was, we're squishy, which would represent where, I get it now. Like, at the time we were like, oh, come on. But it was cute when we developed it because it was allowing us to go there, be like vulnerable with each other. And we were like envisioning like a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
The person on the team that was with us was not the same size that we were, and said, I would never want to put something on me that said I was squishy. And I was like, wow, thank you for that. That was a miss on our part. And we changed it on the spot. And it's been the same since then. What I will say as a leader to other leaders listening, or to somebody that's managing a group of people, if someone brings you something that's uncomfortable, that's a gift.
Yeah.
It is a gift, and it's hard to see it as a gift, because especially for like a founder, like, I'm so attached to it, right? You know, like, you can probably hear that in my voice. It, what we're doing means so much to me, and what the company stands for means so much to me. But we would not be able to do the work that we're doing if we didn't listen. And the number one question I get, regardless of where I am, what I'm doing, who I'm speaking to, the number one question is always, what is something that we can do today to improve our DEI? Number one, I get it everywhere I go. And my answer is always, listen. It's...
You can't. I mean, you couldn't say it any better, but I mean, listening is just, you can't, it's priceless, right?
And they have the answers. Your employees have the answers. They can tell you exactly why nobody uses that resource or why nobody is saying anything in that meeting. They can tell you, but do they feel safe enough to tell you? So if you are hearing something uncomfortable, it is absolutely a gift, because that person is putting their life, their livelihood, and potentially their place of employment on the line to tell you that. They have no reason to tell you. If everything is fine in their world, they will just let it go. Mm-hmm. But it's important to us, as we continue to move forward as an industry with all of the changes that we have happening right now, all of the disruption, even just what we've been through in the past few years, that doesn't account for the things that are still coming. And we know that they're coming.
Yes.
So if we are truly going to not just survive, but be able to thrive and continue forward as an industry, it behooves us to understand that the voices that we have now are not all the voices that we need. For all of the things that haven't been going perfectly well in the past few years, what I would love to tell people right now about insurance is how much hope we do have. We have a lot of opportunity. We have a lot of wonderful things that we can build upon. There's no degree requirement to be in insurance. For many industries, that's a barrier. And as somebody that was trained in the dark arts of corporate America for a very long time, and knew to keep my mouth shut for a very long time, it has been a journey to learn to speak up and to say things that might, ruffle some feathers or rile some people up. But what I will say is, the more you are yourself, the more you will love yourself, the more you will see other people as worthy of love, and the more we can actually change this industry. And you don't need any tools or skill sets to do that. You just need to be able to look within.
It just kind of taps into like the human aspect to when you think about DEI and equality and all of that. I think there's so much, you know, there's so much studying and just research behind it. And all of that is great and well and definitely has its place. But just that human aspect that we all inherently feel when it comes to wanting to be understood and seen and heard is really where is the best place to start. So I love that that's, you know, sort of your philosophy and definitely something that, you know, that resonates with me as well.
I wish you could drop the mic after that. I've been talking a long time and you just said everything that needed to be said in 1 minute. No, seriously, that's really what it's about. It's about being human.
It truly is. And I love, you know, just that that's something that your organization is, you know, is really focused on. So, but yeah, I'd love to kind of, you know, kind of end things with thinking about, you know, obviously we're kind of at the start of the year, if whoever's listening to this podcast. So where is Insure Equality going? Like, what's one of your like big, it could be a big pie in the sky or just a small, like just something that just means a lot to you for 2024?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll give you both. I'll give you pie in the sky and I'll give you something that means something to me. What means something to me is all of the people that we have showing up that are on the earlier end of their career. That to me is so impactful. And it doesn't matter how many people do it. The fact that we have so many people coming to us going, yeah, I want to be a part of this. I want to figure out how to get into insurance and make change. That to me says so much, because I remember when I first got into the industry and wanting to do that and not really feeling like I had an outlet or an avenue. And it feels so incredibly impactful. So there's going to be a program that we're launching hopefully around March that will speak to that. That's all I'm going to say for now, because we don't have the marketing on that. but it's really cool, because we have what we used to call a junior board. They've since changed their name. This is another example of we didn't necessarily get everything right. And so our junior board sat down. They're like, we don't like this name. And I was like, okay, what do you want to change it to? And so they voted, they had a whole process. They're now the rising leaders, but we have an application process for folks, and somebody filled out the application. She's legacy. She's been in, her family's been in insurance for 3 generations and she put in her application, I never thought that I would want to be in this industry until I knew you existed. Those are the moments that I live for. But when we talk about pie in the sky, we hosted our very first summit last year at the end of the year. I've never planned events before. They're tough. Be kind to your event planners. That's a lot of work. So much energy. It doesn't stop. And we're doing it again. So we're going to be hosting it again here in Chicago, August 26th and 27th. We're launching it on Women's Equality Day. The hope and the goal is to have far more female speakers than anything else. We see quite the opposite in the rest of the industry. We're trying to make sure that people have a spotlight here. But when I think about Pie in the Sky, last year we had 120 guests or participants in our first year. I would love to 3x that. I think we can.
I think we can too.
Yeah, the feedback that we continue to get is phenomenal. The fact that people think that we can change insurance that quickly, there's two comments that will continually resonate with me from that event. And the first was, I'd never been in an environment where I felt like I automatically belonged. That one blew me. I get chills every time, the whole time. Yeah. And it's true, like the love in there was incredible. And the second was, you changed my mind about insurance in one day. And that one means a particular something to me because that was from our board president who hadn't spent a day in insurance. She has mostly spent her time on higher education, but believed in what we were doing enough, not just to join the board, but to become the president. And at her final event on the board, she goes, you've changed my mind about insurance. That to me says we're on to something, you know, like this is something that people not only can rally behind, but can see themselves in. And I think that's what we've been missing a little bit from insurance.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that is incredible. I'm very excited about your summit, the event. I think that, you know, just hearing how well it went last year, I think it's definitely something for those listening in. If you, you know, are able to get involved, would definitely encourage that. And so congratulations, like I said, to you and your entire team, because definitely, you know, something that's needed in this industry, but then also to see like just how much of your heart you're truly putting into this is what is incredible. And I can sense that even across, you know, virtually across the lake. And definitely excited for what's to come for you this year and beyond. So thanks again for joining the podcast today.
Thanks, Ashley, and thanks, Coterie. It's been an honor spending time with you. And I feel like we have to talk after this. This was too much fun to not keep talking. So thank you again. It's been a delight.
Coterie provides agents with the best tools to help them succeed and sell. Coterie loves to write 80% of all small commercial businesses, but what classes are those? Are you a Coterie insurance agent or partner? Visit our resources page to find our top 10 classes we love to write this month.